Jesus. You know, I don't want to take it for granted, but for a number of months now, I don't believe there's been a service we come to when there wasn't just a special, special touch of God's anointing on the service. No two services are exactly alike, and appreciate those of you that respond as the choir was singing. And I see that most of you that came, and probably possibly all of you, received what you came for. But I want to preach today because there's others yet that need to respond. Those that God is concerned about. Those that God has made sure that you would be here today to hear a word from Him. I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 25 through 28. And then two verses in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. Praise God. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I want to pause here just for a moment. Something that was quickened in my heart, even during the break while we were having our prayer service, and I was back in my office and trying to make sure I was ready to preach. And I noticed this, that God made the cattle after their kind. There's a certain kind of animal that God wanted to create, and he made all of them after their kind. And beast of the earth, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth. And God said it was good. And then God said, he changed everything. Let us make man in our image. The cattle, the beast of the field, and all the things that he's referring to, all the animal life other than man, was made in another fashion. God said, I'm going to fashion this way. And he did that, and after that kind, on and on. But when it came to Adam, he said, you know, I've got something special in mind for humanity. Amen. I want to create a being that's after my image. My, my, my. Whew. Amen. You want to be after his image and his likeness? Praise God. And so God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Listen to all the things he wants him to do. All of them are God-like things. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Let them have dominion over the fowl of the air. Let them have dominion over the cattle. Let them have dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. My, my, he wanted them to rule over every living thing on the earth. And the next verse says, so God created man in his image, his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then here's what God told them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God wanted them to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill up the earth with their kind, to subdue those things in the earth that didn't want to be under submission, and to have dominion or power or rule over everything that God had created. Praise God. Then reading from Jeremiah 1 and 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had already decided about prophet Jeremiah before mama was ever expecting. Amen. In his mind, he knew what was coming, and he already had picked out and selected what kind of man this was going to be and what kind of work he's going to do. Praise God. I'm telling you, God has something in mind for every person under the sound of my voice today. You're not an accident. Amen. You may have been abused. You may have had a lot of rough roads to walk down. You may have had a lot of setbacks and disappointments and on and on and on. But I'm telling you, God still has a purpose for your life. He can restore you. Amen. He can heal you. Amen. He can change you. Praise God. So my subject today is made in God's likeness. We're not made like the animals. We're made in God's likeness. Let's give thanks to the Lord together right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name. I worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Continue to worship and respond. You can be seated. Amen. Before God created Adam and Eve and formed them from the dust of the earth, he had a plan in mind for their life. It's spelled out very clearly in the scriptures that I just read in your hearing. Let me rehearse it just for a moment here. All the creation, or after the creation of the earth, everything God created, every kind of animal life, God saw that it was good. Turned out just the way he wanted it to be. But then God wasn't pleased with that. Although that was good, this is not really what he formed the earth for. And he said, now it's time to make man in our image after our likeness. My, can you imagine to be in the image and the likeness of God? Can you imagine to be able to tap into the power of God? Amen. To be creative in your own thinking, etc. Can you imagine what it means to be living, amen, with liberty from sin and from all the vexations of the world? And so God created man in his own image, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful. That means have fruit, do some good things, do some wonderful things, and multiply. That's talking about having children, and replenish the earth. Let's fill up the earth with people just like you. I made you in my image. Now you make those children in your image. Here again, that's a God thing. Praise God. And then he said, after you replenish the earth, subdue it, bring everything under your dominion, under your authority. This is how I want it to be. Adam, you are over the earth. Amen. You rule over all the kingdom of the earth. It's yours. Amen. I've made you in my likeness and image. I've empowered you. Amen. I have given you everything you need. You don't have to beg me for something to be able to fulfill this assignment. Amen. I made you in my likeness and my image. And you cannot fail when you're operating in the likeness and image of God. How could you be like God and not be able to fulfill the purpose that God had in your life? It's impossible. So everything he needed to accomplish God's purpose for this life, or for his life, was given unto him. Please get that in your mind. I know it's such a tragic thing what Adam did. But look, Adam, God wanted Adam to rule over the earth. He wanted to be harmonious. He wanted to be peaceful. And probably he might be thinking back to when Lucifer, and there was peace in heaven until Lucifer rebelled and refused to come under God's dominion, under God's authority, and he caused chaos in the heavens, and him and his followers were cast out down to the earth, and just a lot of mayhem and a lot of destruction. A lot of the things that I believe Adam and Eve were dealing with here on the earth was a direct result of the damage that Lucifer had done. Amen. But God said, Adam, if you'll do what I got in mind for you to do, we're going to restore this earth back to its original form. Amen. There's going to be peace. There's going to be harmony. Amen. There's going to be the kingdom of God existing here on the earth, not only in the heavens, but on the earth. And so there's several things that God told him, not that many really, but nevertheless, it would take effort on his part. And God did something else for Adam. He said, first of all, he said, I know you're lonesome. It's not good for a man to dwell alone. And so deep sleep fell on Adam. He took from his side a rib, and from that rib he formed a woman, presented her unto them, and they became husband and wife, one flesh, amen, a team. It didn't say that one was over the other or whatever. It's just each of them had their own particular, I guess you might say, assignment or part that they took care of. And God said, I got a wedding gift for you. Amen. And he took them to a special garden that he had planted, and every plant that was good to look upon, every plant, every tree, every fruit that every tree had that could be eaten for food, it was all there. God planted it. You know, he had all these species scattered all over the world, but he took a beautiful, beautiful spot, and there he designed the layout. Amen. He's the one that decided, I want this tree here, I want this one here, I want this one here, and probably the center of it, the most beautiful thing to look at was the tree of life. Praise God, the tree of life. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of life, you're going to continue to live for eternity. That's a good deal. But also there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not such a good deal. Because to partake of it, you must experience both good and evil. In fact, God said, leave it alone. You can eat of every other tree, anything you want. Eat all of it. In fact, the Bible says God commanded him to eat all of it. But he said, leave this tree of the knowledge of good and evil alone. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You've sealed your doom. Amen. It's been announced and pronounced. You're going to die. Amen. You're not going to live forever as you were created. And so there were some things that he wanted him to do. Every one of these things was for his benefit. Listen to me. God never asked you to do anything that wasn't for your own benefit. And they said, you know, this Christian life, I just don't see this. I just don't understand, and I just don't like this, and I don't feel like doing this and that and the other, and I don't see any sense. Let me tell you something, amen. You're arguing with God. When it's in his word and you don't make sense out of it, so therefore you feel like you're exempt from it, you're blocking yourself from receiving truth. Somebody said, well, as soon as I get a revelation, look, if it says repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, do you need a revelation of that, or do you understand what it means? What we need is submission and obedience to the word of God. If you need some kind of enlightenment, you obey God, you'll get your enlightenment. Amen. But until you're willing and obedient, you will not eat the good of the land. Amen. And so he called this place Eden. And there's that beautiful garden that God planted for them to call home. But now God put Adam in charge of it. He said, I want you to dress it and keep it. And to dress it means I want you to work the soil. I want you to improve things. I want you to trim it up. I want you to fertilize it. All these different things that you and I would do if we were growing a garden. And then he said, I want you to keep it. Now, that's how it reads in the King James Version here. But literally it's talking about, I want you to build a hedge around it. And that hedge was not for looks. It was a barrier that even animals couldn't get through. I'm not going to spend any time on that. But I have told you in times past of such a place as I saw down in Mexico a number of years ago. And man took me and showed me that not even a rabbit could go through that hedge. It had all kinds of things that had thorns and grew together and matted up and what have you. And it was impossible to get through there unless you burned it or hacked it up or something or another. So really he's talking about this is your home. You want to have control over what comes and goes into your home. And there's some things you're going to have to initiate. You're going to have to decide where the boundaries are around your home. And you're going to have to hedge it in. because there's all kinds of those beasts of the field out here. They don't have a desire to serve the Lord. They don't even realize that there is a Lord to serve. Amen. You've got to rule over them. You've got to exercise the authority that I'm giving to you. But you cannot allow certain things to come into your home. It'll be your destruction. Amen. That rule is still in effect. Thousands of years later, there are just some things that you cannot peacefully coexist with in your home. Praise God. And so it seems like that Adam just was a procrastinator. He just didn't have time to go to work on some of these things, so it seems. And there was no hedge planted to keep out the undesirables, none. How do I know that? Because the serpent came and went at will and become a big pet and won Eve's confidence. Amen. There was no attempts to provide security on any level. And so we got the temptation of Adam and Eve. You've heard this many, many times. I've come to this, I don't know how many times in the last year. I said, God, I've already been through that, but it seems like every time there's something new, God showed me about it. And I also feel like it's a subject that not everybody's gotten a hold of yet. How many of you heard me talk before about you're responsible for what? You got to put a hedge around your home and your family. How many's heard me talk about that? But you know what? Not every one of you that raised your hand is doing that the way it needs to be done. Amen. And this is so important. If you don't get this done, I'm telling you, don't get this done, the devil is going to break into your home and break the harmony and all the things that's supposed to go into that. There are some things, look, all these things, commandments and not suggestions, but things that God said he wants us to do, they are for our benefit. Amen. And so, When Eve and the serpent begin to discuss back and forth about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he deceived Eve into believing that it would be all right. And the reason why God didn't want them to partake of that is because they'd turn out being little gods. And my goodness, what more could you do to become a god than to have dominion over the entire earth? But you see, when the devil, look, when there's something you want to do that's not right, you can study on it until you can figure out a reason why it would be just fine. Amen. But that doesn't mean that God's going to accept your excuse. Now, Eve partook of the fruit. She was deceived. She gave it to Adam with her. Amen. He didn't come along later. He was there when her and the serpent was talking. And he never opened his mouth and said one thing. He was not deceived, but he did not warn his wife that the devil was lying to him. And he also partook of the forbidden fruit. My feeling and my, I would say, not a belief as in Acts 2:38, but I feel pretty strongly that the reason why Adam, not being deceived, partook is because he wanted that shortcut to godhood. When you eat of this, the serpent said, you shall be gods. And he wanted to jump over all of the things that's required to get from where you start and where God wants you to be. He wanted to be from here to there. That's all I got to do. Is get some of this fruit in my mouth. So really, he deceived himself. And I'm going to tell you something else. Because he had been duly warned. You know what his sin was that made it worse than what his wife did? She was deceived. His was premeditated. He knew exactly what he was doing. But there was something that he was going after. Not just giving in only to the lust of his flesh. Okay. So here's what I read here in 2:16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Guess what happened? One thing was correct. When they ate of it, their eyes were open. But they had never experienced evil before. They didn't know anything about sin. They didn't know what to compare it to. It just didn't exist on earth as far as among him and his wife. And that was the only living people at that particular time. And so all of a sudden, they became aware of evil. Can you imagine what it would be like to have never known sin? Never known sin. And you've lived in harmony and peace for years. And then all of a sudden you get to experience the full gambit of what sin has to offer. There it is. The knowledge of all kinds of sin. And not only that, but as they're trying to react and respond to what all they're feeling and seeing and understanding, and maybe trading things back and forth with one another, different ideas and understandings and so forth and so on, they heard the voice of the Lord as he came walking, looking for them in the garden. And they heard his voice, and they ran into the bushes, and they began to pull leaves off a fig tree, and they made themselves aprons, and they got it all fixed together, sewed it all up, and they looked at one another and said, "Well, this, I think this will work." This was man's efforts to cover up their sin. There's not a person in this building today that has not been guilty at some time or another of covering up your sin. How many has ever done anything wrong and then denied it and lied about it? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, it's because you was either too tired or you didn't want anybody to know. You wanted them to think you're the only one in this building. No, I understand. You probably were waking up from your nap. I'll try to keep you awake, I promise. But think about this. This was man's attempt to make themselves presentable to God. In other words, to present themselves as being holy when they had just stripped away all of their holiness. And you can't put a fig leaf apron on and replicate the holiness of God. And so the Lord began calling, and he called Adam and asked him, "Adam, where are you?" Adam answered, "When I heard your voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid from you." Oh, you did, huh? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Let's just leave that hanging for a little bit. As I mentioned, God has a plan for every person's life. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse number 6, it tells us some things that took place even a few verses before that about God calling Jeremiah, and he was of a very young age. I don't know. I have no idea how young it was, but he said he was a child, so I'll take his word for it. He might have been no more than 15 or 16 years old. But the Lord began to send him out. And here's what God told Jeremiah in a few earlier verses there, but in chapter number 1, he said, "Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, you know, I had something in mind for you. Before I formed you in the belly of your mama, I knew you." Because God knows him from the beginning. God dwells in eternity. He does not dwell in the past or the future. He dwells in the present. And his present includes everything from the beginning all the way through. And so even though at the time that God's speaking of, there was no physical evidence of a man being born, a man child being born by the name of Jeremiah. But God already had it marked down. Amen. And when that time came, he was born of his mother. But he said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I adorned thee to be a prophet unto the nations." Somebody said, "You know, I didn't believe that, you know, in this kind of a situation where You know, God decides what you're going to be, and God decides whether you're going to be saved or lost, and then there's nothing you can do to change it. Well, that's not really what it's saying. Amen. It didn't say he couldn't disobey, but he said, this is what I had in mind for you. Amen. There's a lot of you that God had things in mind for, and you know good and well that you haven't obeyed God yet. Does that mean that God's a liar? No, it means you're disobedient and rebellious. Getting a little quiet in here. Amen. And Jeremiah's response, he said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And the Lord didn't buy into that, not for one minute. He said, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And then God assured Jeremiah, I don't care what you face, I'll be with you. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. If you want to go on through his ministry, you'll find that Jeremiah's life was on the line time and time again. He was thrown into a dungeon, and it was so muddy in the bottom, it sunk all the way up to his armpits. Amen. And they was just going to leave him there and let him die. And God touched the heart of one of the king's men, and he got some men together and came and got ropes and rags and had him put them under the arms, and they pulled him up out of that muck and mire and saved his life. That's just one time. Amen. So God went with him and used him, amen, and kept his back. Okay, I'm just trying to get you to understand how God works, that God has a plan for your life before your mom and daddy ever knew each other. He knew about you. Somebody said, well, they did this. God knew about you before your mom and daddy ever even knew each other. And I'm talking about, you know, meeting each other or whatever, before either one of them were born. But you see, because of their sin, there was consequences. And so God began pronouncing judgment upon them because of their disobedience. Unto the woman, he said, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. You're going to have a bunch of kids. There's going to be a lot of problems you're going to have to deal with. He said, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. A lot of this is referring to the pain and so forth that goes with childbirth, of which I know little about, but I have observed it. And he said, your desire, you're going to have to answer to your husband. He's going to rule over you. My, that's tough. That's tough. But then he went on and he spoke to Adam, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, because you listened to the voice of your wife, hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. What did he mean, cursed is the ground for thy sake? Why would you say, I'm going to curse the ground, and you're going to have to work hard, and you're going to have to fight thorns and briars and wild animals and all kinds of things. And I did this. I did this because this is for your sake. This is going to make you a better man. You know what? It's going to make you wish that you had done what was right. It's going to help put you in a position to where you'll think twice before you disobey God, knowing that you are disobeying God. Amen. Eve sinned. She knew better. But she listened to the serpent, and he confused her, and she did not realize that she was being pulled into a trap. But Adam knew. Amen. And that is a terrible type of sin. You know, that's what you call premeditated. Premeditated. Man, it'd be one thing if you're going down the road, somebody jumped on you, and to defend yourself, you smote them, and then something happened, something, you know, just big, serious injury and all of that. That's something just happened, okay? Somebody jumped on you and you reacted. But it's a different thing if you go looking for someone and you're lurking in an area they'll pass by as they leave their job and go to where their vehicle is parked. And you're hiding behind a bush and they walk by you and you step out behind them and strike them in the back of the head with a big stick and crack their skull. That's premeditated. And if that person doesn't leave, that's called premeditated murder. All right? Are you seeing the difference? And so he said, for thy sake, I don't want you to operate like this any longer. And he said, so you're going to have to get out there and it's going to get hot and you're going to work and you're going to sweat. Your face is going to sweat and you're going to eat bread that you worked hard for till it's over with. And you return back to the ground from which you was taken. For dust thou art and dust shalt thou return. But listen to me, God, who's rich in mercy, did not withhold mercy from the first people that sinned. This has been such a revelation to me ever since I realized. I always wondered what happened to Adam and Eve. They probably went to hell because of that sin they did. No, they probably went to heaven because they offered up sacrifices and taught their boys how to do it properly. Amen. God made the first sacrifice. We don't know for sure. It could have been goats. It could have been sheep. But something along that line, God took that and he slew them. Blood was shed to cover Adam and Eve's sin. Then he took those skins and he fashioned them coats. And you want to take the time to look it up in the Hebrew, get you a Hebrew dictionary and so forth and look it up. Amen. Many of you have study Bibles. You can even look it up in your Bible and you'll find out that said a coats was talking about a garment that covered their arms and down. Oh, I guess you'd say practically to the floor. It was a robe type garments that he created for them to wear. My. So what happened? Their nakedness was not covered by their efforts. But their nakedness, their spiritual nakedness, was covered because of the blood and because of the mercy of God. And I'll give you one more little thing to throw in there if you want to look at it sometime. You'll find that when Cain destroyed his brother Abel and God dealt with him and then God drove him out from where? He said, from the presence of the Lord. Now, who was left there? The only one we know of that was godly, God accepted his sacrifice, was Abel. Abel's dead. And all we know that existed at that time, and there may have been others, but we know that Adam and Eve was there. And they were living where the presence of the Lord was present. So what does that tell you? Amen. They repented of their sin. When they saw the seriousness of what they had done, even though they had to suffer as the consequence and result of their sin, nevertheless, their nakedness was covered and their holiness was restored. Praise God. Had to be that way because they had to have another son, another child that would carry on that lineage from Adam and Eve all the way down to Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, hey, listen to me. Anybody here that thinks you've been so bad that God would never forgive you, would you stop and consider just for a moment that God forgave the original sinners? And it's because of them that all of us have this sin problem we have to deal with. And yet God covered for them. Let's go into the New Testament. How about Saul of Tarsus, who destroyed so many of God's people? He was a persecutor of all of the children of God that he could find. Amen. And when he was on his road to Damascus with papers in his hands to arrest and find other Christians and to take away their goods and their homes and their land and even their life where possible. Amen. A bright light shined and he fell to the ground. And that light was so bright that it blinded him completely for 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. But you know what he said later? He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But he said, God, you know, he was a murderer. He was a participant. He was a planner. He held the coats of young men that was stoning the first martyr named Stephen, stoning him to death. Fine young preacher that had so much potential for God. But anyway, what I'm trying to help you understand, if God would save Saul and make him probably the most, in this sense, I wish I had a different word, but the most prosperous man in soul winning in the history of the world, I think it would be Paul. I know in the New Testament, it's obvious. It was so much so that the original 12, they saw that God was working and that God's hand was upon Paul, and he was anointed to go to the Gentiles. That meant everything else that existed in mankind except for the Jewish people. And so these 12 divided among themselves, working with the Jewish folks and running that part of it, while Paul had oversight of all of the Gentile churches and all the Gentiles that were coming into truth. Amen. So what I'm trying to tell you today is before your birth, God had a plan for your life. I can't think of the exact examples, but through the years, I've known of people that had a dream or had a vision or something, and dreamed that they were having a child and what it was and so forth and so on. It's like God revealed all this to them and they weren't even expecting. But you know what? It wasn't long that here came. Here came the child that God knew about that child before they were even born or before. Yeah. And so I want you to understand that. God had a plan for your life before you was born, sir, ma'am, young person, older folks. Amen. God still has a plan. If you're breathing and you're cognizant and you can understand what I'm saying, God still has a place for you, amen, to work in his kingdom if you only live two more weeks. We baptized a young man on Sunday night. He got the Holy Ghost that same night. Came back on Wednesday. And there he sat. The boy we baptized had hair down almost to his waist. Big old long scraggly beard. He looked terrible. There's a clean cut young man sitting there on the bench. We did not recognize him. My wife went up to him and introduced herself and thought he was first time visitor. And he started laughing, said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And she said, "Well, no, sir." And he told her who he was. That's how much he had changed from Sunday to Wednesday. I heard on the radio on Saturday morning, I heard on the radio about some young man that had jacked a car up to work on it. And he got under that car and it fell on him and it crushed him to death. And they gave his name. And I said, "That sounds just like that boy that got the Holy Ghost Sunday." Yeah, it was. I drove over there, and he was living over on North Denver, big old house, huge house that had needed to be remodeled 50 years ago, and this guy just rented out a little room here and there. In fact, there was a large hallway, and it had a 90 in it, and in that corner there, they just put a couple of sheets of plywood across there and put another piece of plywood and threw a little mat on it. And they was renting it to the guy that just prayed through on Sunday night. And anyway, yes, it was him that died. But the man that was over that told me, he said, "I've never seen anybody change like this guy did. Never before. I've never seen anything like it." Said he told everybody here about him getting the Holy Ghost and getting baptized, inviting all of us to go to church with him. He's been telling everybody he knows. Said he's so happy, and on and on and on. He only lived from as far as living for God from Sunday night to Saturday morning. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Stretch it out 5 days that he lived. But you know what? He had an impact on the lives of other people in that 5 days' time. And you know what? He just had an impact on some of you. Though dead, he still speaketh. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you, and I can't even remember his name now. We didn't even get to go to his funeral. Parents came in from out of state and had a carried him off down in the southern part of the state somewhere. And of course, they didn't know the backstory. They didn't know all of that. So we saw him two times at church. And you know what? I kind of have a feeling I'll get to meet him again someday. Praise God. So sinning begins at a very early age. Some of you have two-year-old children, and you've already figured out some things about the personality. Some of them are hotheads, right? They get mad about anything that happens that they don't like that doesn't go their way. Some of them are real affectionate. They're always hugging and snuggling, whatever, whatever, whatever. Some of them are wanting to talk, and others you can't get them to say anything unless they want to. And it goes on and on and on. But there's some negative things. Some of them, they want to hit another child or hit you. I mean, at an early age. And almost before they're old enough to even know what they're doing, they're already doing borderline sinning. They're practicing for the big day, I guess. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? And the older you get, the more pronounced those weaknesses become. The more it becomes a part of who you are. The more you become known by certain things that stand out in your actions and in your behavior. Amen. And you know, it's not long. Kids are pretty young can start telling some pretty good stories. Now, I'm not talking about a kid's imagination. I'm talking about when they're trying to get somebody in trouble or get out of trouble. Amen. They're learning. They're learning the art of lying. And I could go on and on and on, but I think that's enough for you to understand what I'm saying. And so by the time they become an adult, their hearts are hardened. And there's so many things that they don't have any problem. It doesn't bother them at all to do certain things and act certain ways. Amen. But the Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. Paul wrote to the church at Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23. He said, for all have sinned. Everybody say all.
All.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person under the sound of my voice, we have sinned. And if you live a while longer, I'm sure you'll probably sin again. There are certain kinds of sins that have great, great consequences, and you want to make sure you don't fall into that kind of snare. But I'm just saying we're not perfect yet. Romans 6:23, he said, for the wages of sin is death. That's what he told Adam and Eve. The day you eat thereof, you're going to surely die. But here we are, thousands of years later, and the wages of sin is still death. But here's a cute little word fit in here that changes everything. The word but, B-U-T, which means contrarywise. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to settle for death. You can have the gift of life that Jesus wants you to have. Amen. Let's begin to talk to God right now. Praise God. God extends mercy to all that seek after him and desire to be in fellowship with him. Oh, Jesus, have your way in this service today. Oh, God, talk to those that are struggling, those that are hungry, those that are desiring, oh, God, to be loosed from sin and to enjoy the joy of salvation. In your name, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Is there anybody here that would like to be set free from the law of condemnation? Amen. The law that it's impossible for you to obey in your own strength, your own power. Amen. Would you stand with me right now? In your name, Jesus. Let me tell you something. When Jesus saved Saul of Tarsus and later named him Paul, he didn't use all of his mercy. Do you hear me? He had plenty of mercy for anyone else that day that wanted and desired mercy. And here we are over 2,000 years later. And guess what? He has mercy abundant. You know why? Because we're not drawing from this certain reservoir of mercy. But mercy is an ongoing thing with God. Every day, there's fresh and new mercy that's available for everybody here. Amen. God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to give you a better life. God wants to restore you. God wants to take away, amen, different things that you might be addicted to. God will take care of that. Things that torment you, spirits that bother you, amen, things that you have to put up with. God wants to get that out of you. Amen. He wants to deliver you. He wants to make you happy. He wants to give you peace instead of a troubled mind. Amen. And not even being able to sleep without taking something to deaden your senses and help you go to sleep. Who's going to be the first one to walk down here and say, I'm ready to live for God? I'm tired. I'm tired of living the way that I'm living. I want to be. God bless you. Over here, young lady on this side. Ma'am. Over here, please. Some of you ladies come and be with her quickly. Come on, who is God talking to right now? Who's going to say yes to the Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, God's talking to you. I can feel it. I can feel it. God knows where you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless those of you that have come to pray. Wait just a moment longer. Just a moment longer. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him. Let's begin to gather to the front. Come on. Everybody's welcome to come. If you was embarrassed to come by yourself alone and want to come now, that's fine. That's totally fine. Don't be bashful. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.